This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
As dunya is fani, it's only for a short while, and the life to come is the eternal life. And the real nur is the nur of guidance, isn't it, brothers and sisters, really? Yeah. Blessed are we and all those who received and accepted the nur and light of the Quran and that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was sent with the light of guidance. How fortunate we are that we have that guidance. And we ask Allah to accept from us, to forgive us, to widen our sustenance, to give us beneficial knowledge and understanding. On Him we are utterly dependent, and to Him is our goal. We had a couple of sessions to do with Hadith 27, but not to do with the matan and the text. It was more on the periphery, to do with the hadith itself and its narrators. And as he mentions, Imam Tirmidhi, about this hadith coming in its two versions or three versions of it, Sahih Muslim, we mentioned something about Sahih Muslim in our last session as well. And in the Musnad of Ahmad, in the second part of the hadith which he has taken, and as it says, Musnad al-Bazzar, but I clarified, it's Sunan al-Bazzar, really, it's not Musnad. More correctly, alaykum as-salam. So that was last two sessions, as you know, were quite technical. Some brothers were saying they want to listen to them again because it's difficult to remember, which is fine. It will be accessible and available. And it takes time for things like that to be absorbed. You know, those of us who've been studying Ulum Hadith, we know we have to attend the course, the same course again and again, read the same texts of the books again and again, and revise the stuff for it to read. And each time you do it, the understanding is greater with it. So this is part of the journey of life, especially with technical things like Ulum Hadith, which is one of the most difficult topics to understand for even A'imma, never mind the general public. So I gave you a brief overview to give you a taster of the science of hadith, really very much a taste or introduction, a little bit about Hasan hadith, etc. So as Imam Tirmidhi said, this hadith is Hasan because of the various chains, even though they are weak slightly. Hasan li ghayri, and that is opinion of many others. Opinion of my own teacher, Sheikh Abdullah al-Judai, Muhaddith as well, is that this hadith is Hasan li ghayri. And I explained that in the last couple of sessions, what that is. So acceptable for us to take lessons from it. And that's the second part I'm talking about of the hadith when I say Hasan li ghayri. The first part is in Sahih Muslim, so it is authentic anyway. Okay, before I confuse you. So let's take the hadith again. When I say it's in Sahih Muslim, of course it's authentic. There are a handful of hadith in Sahih Muslim which are also not Sahih. But I'm not going to go into that today. Nevertheless, generally, certainly when it says Bukhari and Muslim, Muttafaqun Alayh, they are authentic hadith. And this one, it doesn't say Muttafaqun Alayh because this hadith is only in Sahih Muslim. And the one in Sahih Muslim is, as Imam Tirmidhi says, from An-Nawas ibn Sam'an, رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال البر حسن الخلق والإثم ما حاك في نفسك وكرهت أن يطلع عليه الناس. That righteousness or albir is good character or good morality. والإثم has to be the opposite of albir. Okay, and I'll explain that in a minute. Generally, they say wrongdoing or sin. And sin is a very technical English word. So what does sin mean? We need to understand before we apply it to al-ithm. True? Because sin is a Christian-based word. Yes, yeah, so its origin. Yeah. So if you apply it to al-ithm, then we need to understand what sin is as well. Wal-ithm ma haka fi nafsik is what wavers in your soul. وَكَرِهْتَ أَنْ يَطَلِعَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ and you dislike that people find out about it. That is what ithm is. And this hadith in Sahih Muslim is the version that is being mentioned by Imam An-Nawawi. And that's exactly how it comes in Sahih Muslim. Okay. Sometimes, if you remember, Imam Nawawi mentions the words are a bit different, and we've gone back to Sahih Muslim and found that it has slight variation. But this one is as he says it is. There's a version of the same hadith, which is also narrated by Imam At-Tirmidhi. And he says, Hadith Hasanu Sahih, this version. And it is authentic, as he says. And I explained last time what Hasan Sahih means as well when Imam Tirmidhi uses it, that it comes with more than one chain, which is both chains are authentic. Yeah. So that's why he uses the word Hasan Sahih. And there, the only difference is, as Imam Tirmidhi points out, yeah, he says, yeah, okay, so let me just clarify. Imam An-Nawawi actually doesn't point this out because he says, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying al-bir husnul khuluq. Well, actually, hadith in Sahih Muslim from An-Nawas ibn Sam'an, he says, sa'altu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about bir and ithm, about righteousness and its opposite. And then he responded saying, al birru husnul khuluq. You see, that is missing from what Imam Nawawi is reporting, isn't it? I'm just saying from the Prophet, because he's summarizing. He's not giving you exactly what's there. He's giving you what the gist of it is, because his objective isn't to bring you the chain and every word in its place. Imam Nawawi's objective isn't that. Imam Nawawi's prime objective is to take lessons from the actual matan of the hadith, the text, isn't it? So he's missed out the bit in Sahih Muslim where he's quoting from, where An-Nawas actually says, yeah, I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about righteousness and ithm. And that's how he responded. Imam Tirmidhi, when he reports it, and he points this out, you see, he says, and he has a different chain, that's why it's slightly different. He says, from Nawas ibn Sam'an al-Ansari, yeah, أَنَّهُ سَأَلَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ sorry, that's not the one. Confusing, that's another chain. And Nawas ibn Sam'an says, أَنَّ رَجُلًا سَأَلَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ The Sam'an in the version Imam Tirmidhi presents doesn't say, I asked the messenger. He says, another man asked the messenger the same question, yeah, about righteousness and things. And then the Prophet responded with the exact same answer. So Imam Tirmidhi points this out when he gives this version. He gives the other chain and he says, there's a similar hadith to this, yeah, but in that, and Nawas says, I asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah. Otherwise, he said it's authentic. That's the only variation. So, do we get bogged down with that? Yeah. Nawas ask himself, or did a man ask? Maybe they both asked, and doesn't really matter. Yeah. Somewhere along the line, yeah, in the two versions, it's either another person asking and Nawas is listening, or Nawas is asking himself. So that bit, perhaps, it can happen. It can happen. The both, the man and he asked. or it can be one or the other. But what the Prophet said in response to it makes no difference because it's authentic Quran. You understand? So it's just technical, but it's notice how Tirmidhi points the different technical difference. That's how particular they are. Yeah, Imam Tirmidhi says, oh, look, in my version I've got, yeah, he's saying another man asks. But the other version, which is in Sahih Muslim, yeah, is he himself is asking. Okay, so just a little bit to show you how they point out little differences like that. So the other one, which is from Wabisa ibn Ma'bad radiallahu anhu, that one in Ahmad and Sunan al-Bazar is the one we're saying is Hasan li ghayri. Hasan. It's a good hadith. Yeah, meaning it is acceptable. Yeah. Especially because it's supporting Sahih Muslim, which is already authentic. And its words are similar. It's got some extra. This hadith is mentioned in Imam Nawawi mentions as Jitu Tas from Wabisa ibn Ma'bad radiallahu anhu qal. That Wabisa says, yeah. And he jumps to, doesn't say here qala Nabi, so he's just saying that Ma'bad radiallahu anhu said qal, yeah. That the Prophet said, Jita tas'alu anil birr. You've come to ask me about righteousness? Rhetorical question. He's asking. You've come to ask me about righteousness? Qultu. He said, I said, Na'am. Yes. Qal. Then the Prophet said, Istafti qalbak. Consult your heart. Al birru ma atma annat ilayhi nafs wa watma anna ilayhi qalb. Because righteousness, after saying consult your heart, is that which with which the soul, yeah, the soul feels tranquil. And the heart feels settled and tranquil. Itminan, from itminan. Wal ithmu, and the opposite. Ma haka fi nafs wa taraddada fi sadr. Al-ithm, yeah, wrong conduct or sin, is what wavers in the soul and goes to and fro in the breast. It's describing a feeling inside the person, yeah. وَإِنْ أَفْتَاكَ النَّاسُ وَأَفْتَوْكَ. Yeah, وَإِنْ أَفْتَاكَ النَّاسُ. Even though people give legal opinion and continue to give the legal opinion to you, it still wavers in the soul. So it means even though people give their legal opinion in its favor, it doesn't say that. It's implied when he says, "Wa in aftaka an-nasa wa aftawk." He's not saying they give it in its favor. But the context tells you, yeah, wa in. After Prophet ﷺ saying that sin and wrongdoing is that which wavers in the soul and goes to and fro in the breast, even though the mufti is giving, and nas here is the mufti, not other people. Yeah, here he's talking about the mufti who's giving a legal opinion, even though he is giving a legal opinion, meaning in its favor, and continues to give that opinion. This is very important to contemplate what's being said, because people misuse this part of the hadith. Yeah, they misuse it and misapply it. And we'll come to that later. This same hadith, he said, remember that Ahmad reports it in his Musnad. So let's go to Ahmad and get the actual words from Ahmad, because it adds a little bit, which is interesting. Yeah. So in Ahmad, Wabisa says, who's the Sahabi, Ataytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is extra. Okay. وَأَنَا أُرِيدُ أَلَّا أَدَعُ شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْبِرِّ وَالْإِثْمِ إِلَّا سَأَلْتُ عَنْهُ. And I wanted that I leave nothing from the questionings about righteousness and sinning, except that I ask him. He wants detail, he wants to know everything about righteousness and sin, so he can avoid the sin and follow righteousness. So he's saying that I wish la ada'u shay'an, that I leave nothing in regards to birr and sin, except that I ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Faqala li, so he said to me, udnu ya wabisa. Yeah. So he said, he hasn't asked anything yet, have you noticed? He said, I came to the Messenger of Allah, and he's still explaining why I came to us, to the people listening to him. He hasn't said anything to the Prophet yet. He said, I came with the intention of asking him and not leaving anything in regards to righteousness and sin, except that I ask him. So he hasn't spoken yet. You understand? Yeah? That's what the hadith is explaining. So the Prophet, when I came, said to me, Udnu ya wabis, ya wabisa, come near, O wabisa. As soon as I arrived, said, come near. Wadanautu minhu hatta. So I went near him, close to him. Udnu means come close. Hatta massat rukbatay rukbatahu. Or rukbati rukbatahu. Until my knee touched his knee. That's how near he came. A bit like Jibril's hadith, when their knee touched the knee, yeah? And he put his hands on his thighs, yeah? But not here, no hands on the thigh, just knee touching the knee, okay? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Then the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم spoke further. يَا وَابِسَ أَأُخْبِرُكَ مَا جِئْتَ تَسْأَلْ عَنْهِ. Shall I inform you of what you've come to ask me about? So he already knows. He already knows, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is, yeah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his honor that he already knows. He said, tas'alani, what you've come to ask me. Qultu, I said, ya Rasulullah, akhbirni. He said, oh Messenger of Allah, tell me then. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, jita tas'alani anil birr wal ithm. You've come to ask me about righteousness and wrongdoing. That's what you've come for. Qultu na'am. I said yes. That's true. Fajama asabi'ahu thalath. Faj'ala yankutu biha fi sadri wa yaqul. This is extra, you see. You don't get it from the other hadith, and you don't get it from Nawawi's. You have to go back to the source. He took his three fingers together, the Prophet ﷺ, and then he poked me in the chest while he's saying this, what he's going to say. So he's doing this, who's sitting next to, knee to knee to Wabisa, he's doing this to Wabisa in his heart, in his chest. Yeah. يَنْكُتُ بِهَا فِي صَدْرِ وَيَقُونَ. While he's saying, يَا Wabisa. Istafti nafsak, O Wabisa, consult yourself, ask yourself, consult yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Here, the words are istafti nafsak. In the one mentioned by An-Nawwi, istafti qalbak, ask your heart, consult your heart. Nafsak, or qalbak, same idea, same meaning, different words, which shows you again, reporters reporting slightly different words, but with the same meaning. Consult yourself means consult your heart. It's the same thing he's saying, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah. Then he says, al-birru ma matma'anna ilayhi al-qalb, on which the heart is settled and content. Watma'annat ilayhi nafs, on which the soul, yourself, he's saying nafs, which means you, feel settled, yeah, and content. Wal ism, and wrongdoing or sin, ma haka fi qalb, fil qalb, what wavers in the heart. Wa taraddada fi sadr, and it goes to and fro in the chest. Same thing. Even if people give legal opinion to you and continue to give legal opinion in its favor, in other words, in brackets, in its favor. Okay? So that hadith, you see, added more to the picture of what actually happened with Wabisa. Yeah. And also it brings out, and the hadith that Nawawi reports hasn't got the extra bit and doesn't give you the idea that Prophet already knows what he's come for. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah. So, and that's the advantage of going to the source. Yeah. Going to the source of the hadith. Nevertheless, when you go to the source, you might find the version that Nawawi's used is not the same as the one you've come across, because there may be more than one version in the same source, because they have different chains. So you have to check, yeah? Because you might have come across the one which actually is very weak or munkar or not to be taken as hasan. But the one, that's why when I took this from the source, I checked with Sheikh Abdullah, my teacher again, to check that that is actually hasan, yeah? Rather than coming to the conclusion myself from looking at another reason saying it must be the same, no? You have to then double check again. Can't just take it for granted, oh, it must be the same one. Okay? This is important when you're doing corroborating. There are other versions, as Ibn Rajab mentions this version. There are other versions of the same hadith which are even more weak or munkar or fabricated or rejected. Okay? So just because these are okay, you may come across other ones which are similar. They are not acceptable to use. Yeah. So this is just to, and I'm not going to go through all that because it becomes more cumbersome for you rather than there's a chain, for example, from Abu Huraira, which is very weak, cannot be accepted. Tabrani as well. I mentioned Tabrani last time, reports some which are similar to this, which are rejected and fabricated hadith. They cannot be used, although they have similar meaning as this. Okay. So Ibn Rajab does point that out, but doesn't always point out whether they're munkar or fabricated, etc. Sometimes he does. Okay. Now, why has he mentioned two hadith here? Because normally he mentions one hadith, doesn't he? He's mentioned two here. One from Sahih Muslim and one from Musnad Ahmad, which is one's Sahih and one's Hasan. Because the second one is talking about Al-Birr and Al-Ithm again, isn't it? And so is the first one, yeah? Because they're similar. Although the second one, yeah? And the first one's also talking about sin is wavering in the soul and the heart idea, yeah? But the first one adds to it that you dislike people knowing about it. Second one doesn't have that, but has the idea of wavering in the soul, the second hadith that Nawawi mentions. The Ahmad Hadith of Wabisa. But it has extra in it, yeah, that even if the legal opinion is being given to you, yeah, but is something not right in your heart and soul, right? So let me just add a proviso. It depends on whose heart and whose soul is it wavering. Yeah, very important. Whose heart and whose soul is it wavering? An ignorant person who knows nothing about Islam and the Mufti tells them, and he's saying, oh, I can't be right. He knows nothing. He's not talking about that person. Yeah? Or a person who's fasik. Yeah? Wrongdoer person. Yeah? And they're thinking themselves. Yeah? So there's a condition when we come to, and I'll clarify it further later on, inshallah. Now, so al birru husnul khuluq, that bir comes from goodness, righteousness, and the best definition of what bir is, Quran gives it, and Hadith is giving it. Prophet ﷺ is mentioning al birr husnul khuluq, yeah, is good character, good morals. Yeah, khuluq has the idea of good character, good morals. And as Imam Nawawi says, for example, in his short commentary, he says, like we've covered already in hadith number 18 before. Yeah, hadith number 18 was, ittaqillah haythuma kunt, be mindful of Allah wherever you may be, wa atbi sayyat al hasanata tamhuha, wa khaliqin nasa bi khuluqil hasan. The last part of the hadith. Yeah, and deal with people in with the best conduct. Wa khaliqin nasa bi khuluqil hasan. That hadith was da'if. It's weak, not authentic, and not hasan. We said that at the time. But we said the idea of good moral and character is from the Quran and Sunnah anyway. All right? Just because we say we don't say the Prophet ﷺ said that, hadith number 18. The idea, we got it from this hadith, haven't we? The same idea we got from this hadith, that al-bir husnul khuluq. So because we covered some aspect of good character in that hadith, you don't want to repeat the whole thing again. That's the idea of Imam Nawawi mentioning that. Al-Ithm, and he says that the Prophet ﷺ saying that the soul is not content and not settled with it. So let me explain. Al-Ithm, and I've no problem using the word sin for it, because sin in the English language means any time you go against divine law, according to the Christian version, that's where they got the word sin from. They call it sin. Going against divine law, yeah, in conduct and belief is sinful or sin. Which is the same idea of ism, actually. Yeah. Well, ism, and they say, is basically, yeah, falling into haram, and sometimes they say into makruh, some scholars say. Yeah. So haram is that anything that you do which is in the Sharia, yeah, Allah and His Messenger, is against what Allah and His Messenger have taught. Or anything which goes outside the boundaries of halal, then you fall into ithm. Or another word for it in Arabic is dhanb. Dhanb. Yeah, or dhunub in plural. Dhanb, not dhanab. There's a difference between the same letters. Dhanab means tail. Yeah, and aznab are tails of something. Dhanb and dhunub, from the same letters, if you don't pronounce it right, you're saying something different. Aznaba, yeah, which is the fourth version. Aznaba, yuznibu, means to sin. Yeah, to do wrong. Wrong before Allah. Yeah. So that's why, so dhanb and dhunub is the same as ithm, really. They're interchangeable. Yeah, they're interchangeable, to clarify. Imam Tufi says similar to Imam Nawawi in the first part, that righteousness is good conduct. He says, we've already covered it in Hadith 18. So Imam Tufi also says similar. So Imam Tufi says, for example, al-bir is ibaratun amma wajaba wa mandub min ash-shari'. It is an expression or a word, he says, al-bir, of everything that the lawgiver has made obligatory or recommended. That is bir. Okay, and he says al-ithm is that which is opposite to that. Anything which the lawgiver has prohibited you from. Okay, I would add to that that not only what the Sharia has made obligatory and recommended for you, but also mubah for you. Is that under bir or ithm? What do you think?
Intention.
It depends on your intention. But it can become under bir. Because if your intention is, as a Muslim, you think it's halal, to eat halal, to drink halal, yeah? And scholars debated over this. Some said you have to actually have the intention. Others said, as a Muslim, because you're not going to eat and drink haram, the fact that you're eating halal is worshipping Allah as well, is ibadah. So it's part of bir. Yeah? It's part of bir. So there's a little extra to add, not just that which is wajib and mandub, obligatory and highly recommended, but that which is in the sphere of halal, isn't it? You stay in the sphere of halal, is it praiseworthy or is it sinful? It's praiseworthy. So mubah is actually a massive area, isn't it? Mubah is a bigger area than wajib and mandub. Yeah. So it comes under bir. It comes under bir. To stay in halal is praiseworthy. Yeah, to not go outside. So just to add that proviso, Imam Tufi says that when Prophet ﷺ said that you dislike the people find out or know about it, yeah, sin or wrongdoing, he says, what and nafs laha shu'ur, yeah, that every soul has a shu'ur, and he calls it like fitra, has its natural desires, has desires. Lakin, a shahwa ghalibat alayha. Yeah. What he's saying is that you can naturally have feelings and desires which can be natural and good. But when shahwa, that's negative, that's a desire that can be negative, yeah, can be negative, because shahwa can be fulfilled positively as well. Let's be honest and clear. Sexual desire is shahwa. That's what's in Arabic. But shahwa can be fulfilled through marriage. It's still called shahwa, but it's halal. And it's praiseworthy even, as we said in the hadith that we've covered before. Yeah? وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً. Yeah? In the sexual act of each of you is a sadaqah. It's a charity. Remember in the previous hadith we covered it. Okay? So shahwa only becomes a problem when the shahwa goes outside the halal field, yeah, to fulfill. Okay, then it becomes ithm, sinful. Okay, interesting. Imam Tufi said, divided ithm or sin or wrongdoing with this description of the first hadith of and the second hadith, which talks about wavering in the soul and wavering in the heart, going to and fro. He said that we can be in four situations, a person. One, yuhika fi nafs wa yakrahu itla' an-nas alayh, mithlu riba, az-zina, etc., shurb al-khamr. He says, something which wavers in the soul and you dislike people knowing about it. So it has both characteristics, as the hadith mentions, yeah? He said, for example, dealing in riba, committing adultery, and drinking khamr. Okay? Wavers in the soul, and you don't want people to find out about it. That's one state to do with ithm. He said, second, la yuhiku fi nafs, this thing doesn't waver in your soul, and you don't dislike people finding out about it. That must be the opposite then. That must be bir. And he said, that is halal. Everything halal doesn't waver in the soul. and you don't mind people finding out about it. He said the third is, it wavers in the soul. However, you don't dislike people finding out about it. So it's the opposite. It's something wavering in your soul, but you don't mind people finding out about it. He's being theoretical. He says it's possible. And he said the fourth category is, yeah, to be complete. This is technical people. You see, they want to cover every post. What's the other possibility? That it doesn't waver in the soul, but you dislike people finding out about it. Prophet hasn't talked about these two kind of categories anyway. So he's saying that's possible. And this would be in the case of doubtful matters, yeah, that you're not sure about, yeah, similar to the hadith which talked about doubtful matters before. Yeah. So theoretically, he's giving those issues. Yeah, the different kinds of scenarios. Generally, if it wavers in the soul and you're unsettled about it, you're not going to like people to know about it either. That's an indication. That's why Prophet ﷺ mentioned both, didn't he? He mentioned both together, simultaneously. They come together. If he's wavering in the soul, yeah, with knowledge and awareness, then you're not going to like people finding out about it. This wavering in the soul, let me add something now, can be a natural wavering. A natural wavering. What do I mean by that? I mean by that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created on a fitrah. Yeah? Human beings. Human beings by nature love truth, love bravery, yeah? Love justice. Yeah? By nature, they dislike dishonesty. Yeah? Cheating, deception. Do people like that? Muslim or non-Muslim? Yeah? You can become so corrupt as an individual and society that actually you fall into it and you can't decipher the difference. That can happen. But generally, human beings on the fitrah, by their own fitrah, that's why Islam came to fulfill and go in congruence with the fitrah, not against it. Because the fitrah itself likes that. Okay? That's why. And fitrah, so when I say that, so you can have wavering in the soul and to and fro in the chest, in the heart, by fitrah, by the nature. But if your fitrah becomes corrupted, you won't get that wavering in the soul and the to and fro. And we see it around us all the time. And you think, how could they do that? So most people sleeping around in society now, they made it the norm, haven't they? Do you think they get the wavering in the soul and the to and fro?
First time, second time, and then...
So that's what I'm coming to. Not necessarily. Because, as the Prophet ﷺ explained about بَلْرَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ the ra'an, that's mentioned in Surah Mutaffifin, he mentioned it as a black spot. Then when somebody commits a sin, a black spot develops on the heart. If we do tawbah, remember that I've mentioned this hadith before, if the person does tawbah, it's polished and wiped away. If they carry on doing sinning, however, without doing tawbah, more and more black spots, and they coalesce together, and the heart becomes hardened and black and dark. That heart now, there's going to be no wavering in the soul and no wavering and to and fro in the heart. So that happens over a period of time. And that's what we see, isn't it? In society, if you get used to something, when you do it the first time, as Malik just said, it's going to waver. But if you carry on, look, If you carry on doing something, what's happening, the Prophet is describing in the heart, that's what's happening. What's happening in the soul and the heart then is there's no wavering. No wavering can happen in a blackened, hardened heart, can it? We're talking about human beings. I'm not even talking about belief and disbelief. Although that can happen even to believers. But I'm talking about general humanity. Okay? So, for example, sleeping around, first time they'll do it outside of marriage, it will definitely waver in the soul. Yes? By the very fitrah that Allah created us with. Okay? Second time, it'll be less. Third time, less. Fourth time, less. Carry on. And then when the society makes it a norm to blagger about it and send on social media that you slept with so many people, then, you know, the hearts have really become hardened. Yes? Isn't that right? A few years ago, and this might sound like a trivial point, but it's a point, again, to do with this. And you found it more often years back, 10, 20 years ago. But last I saw this kind of debate was more than 5, maybe 10 years ago. I don't think it's shown its head again because nobody dares speak about it now. And it was a head teacher, or a few head teachers, saying, why have we got our girls, never mind in primary and junior school, but when they get to upper school, and the girls mature quicker physically and mentally, actually, than the boys do. The girls look like physically women, 14, 15, 16, they're grown women. Boys later. That's how it is. That's a fact, isn't it? So they were saying, why have we got them wearing little mini skirts as part of the youth school uniform? Yeah. They have to wear a short skirt, which is showing all the legs, including the thighs. And under the guise of this is school uniform, we've got them going around like this. It is too provocative, this debate. Why can't they wear skirts under their knees? At least if you've got a culture of a skirt, why can't they wear a skirt which comes, you know, halfway down the shin? What's wrong with that? It's more modest, less provocative. Or big hoo-ha, etc. Of course, there's no practical reason at all. Yeah. Or it's going to get caught in the doors, or it's going to get caught in this and that. There's some tried, you know, in lab experiments, and that was the reason why they didn't want some girls to wear scarves. Forget scarves. We're talking about a miniskirt, which is worn usually on Friday and Saturday nights, if that short. Yeah. When they go out drinking, etc., nightclubs, to draw the opposite sex. Let's be very blatant and honest about it. We're brought up in this society. We know exactly what the game is. Yeah? We don't mince our words. We know what the game is on Friday and Saturday night. Okay? And that's why it's worn. Provocative clothes are worn not to show that we are not backward people, we're liberal. It is to provoke sexual feelings on the other side, isn't it? Now, when you've brought your girl up to be used to wearing a miniskirt all her life as a school uniform, she's not going to blink an eyelid when she gets to adulthood, because she's already wearing that kind of skirt at school, to wear a miniskirt to go out to nightclubs, will she? That's called getting used. There's no wavering in the heart. All right? Because you actually have taken it out of their fitrah from childhood. When I was at school, in 9, 10, 11 years of age, right, they wanted us to get, after PE, get changed in front of each other, go stark and naked, okay, and go and have the showers, communal showers. So I remember I wasn't the only one uncomfortable. Everybody was uncomfortable. All the boys, Muslim, non-Muslim, they're all uncomfortable. But we stayed uncomfortable and made sure we didn't, right? We kept with our fitrah. There, initially, the wavering happened. Another time, wavering happened, felt shy. Give them 2 or 3 years. Yeah. Do you think it's going to happen? It didn't happen. Going starkers was no problem. Till this day, now they just, of any age, they just, we say it's shameful. They say, what do you mean? What do you mean? Shameful can only come with the idea of fitra, I say. It's in the fitra, actually, as much as they deny it. But it comes, the religion came to confirm it then. Allah sent his message to confirm that. So I'm giving you 2 or 3 examples of how the wavering of the natural wavering that is still there in children has been removed. Yeah. And there's all kinds of much worse removal going on of the natural ideas on all this LGBTQT stuff that's being shoved down the throats of our children at a young age. Yeah. Before it was young age, then a few years later decided we need to go even younger to totally. Yeah. It's that what's. It's destroying the fitrah first, then there's no place for religion, because Islam came to go in line with the fitrah, didn't it? So when you finished off the fitrah already, yeah, and the boy says, I want to be a girl, you've destroyed the fitrah. There'll be no room left for Islam then, because you've confused and shattered those very biological, scientific, yeah, chromosomal ideas. You want to destroy them, it's never going to work. Firstly, there'll be consequences. There'll be consequences when you do that. Now, this idea of fitrah, the Prophet ﷺ said in hadith Qudsi, bringing out this idea of fitrah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hadith Qudsi, إِنِّي خَلَقْتُ عِبَادِي حُنَفَاءُ مُسْلِمِينَ فَأَتَتْهُمُ الشَّيَاطِينَ فَاجْتَالَتْهُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِمْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, this hadith I mentioned, that Allah says, I created my slaves, the human beings, upright, Muslimin, submitting to the Creator. That's what it means. Yeah. And then the shayateen, the satans, came upon them and hijacked them. Yeah. Yeah. And swerved them from, look, Allah says, فَاجْتَالَتْهُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِمْ. Then they swerved them away from the fitra, the uprightness that Allah has created them with. Allah said, I created them with it. So shayateen are taking them away as Iblis did with Adam and Hawa. Shayateen. فَحَرَّمَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ مَا أَحْلَلْتُ لَهُمْ. They make haram for them what I made halal, Allah saying. Yeah. وَأَمَرَتْهُمْ أَنْ يُشْرِكُوا بِمَا لَمْ أُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَان. And they order them, the shayateen, to associate partners with me for which I have sent no authority. And that associate and shirk includes the nafs and the desire being, yeah, in place of God, fulfilling that. Shayateen are doing. So this is in Sahih Muslim, this hadith. So saying Allah said, I have created my servants with that. It means with the fitrah. Yeah. And similarly, the hadith which is in Bukhari Muslim, kullu mauludun yuladu ala al-fitra. Every child is born on the fitra. فَأَبَوَاهُ يُحَوِّدَانِهِ وَيُنَصِّرَانِهِ وَيُمَجِّسَانِهِ. And it is their parents. Here, parents means society as well, by the way. Yeah, because what we've got in societies often, the governments and the schools are overtaking what the parents are doing. So they're taking the place of this. So it is their elders or their parents who make them into Christians, Jews, and Zoroastrians, or hadith doesn't say it, but we can add to it, yeah, atheists, etc. Yeah. The idea of again, children being born on the fitrah, meaning in line with Islam. Fitrah is submission to the Creator. Yeah. So they're already primed. Human beings are primed by Allah to receive the message of His guidance, because it's in accordance with their fitrah. That's why kufr is to cover your nature. You know this is right because it fits with what you've been created with, but you want to hide and conceal it. That's why it's called kufr. You're deceiving yourself. You're actually deceiving yourself. So there is a wavering which applies to all human beings, a wavering of a fitri nature. Okay? A wavering of a fitri nature. But the Prophet ﷺ here is talking to a believer. Yeah, who's come to ask. Yeah, he's come to ask. Or a man's asking about righteousness. So when the Prophet ﷺ says, Al-birru husnul khuluq, that righteousness is good conduct and good morality, and the opposite, the sin, is that which wavers in this in your soul, and you dislike people finding out about it. He's talking to a believer now. Okay. Shaykh Uthaymeen, because birr is a big topic, and next time, inshallah, we'll go to the Quranic verse which talks about birr, and it doesn't just have one word, does it? Ayatul Birr, which I've mentioned before, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 177, yeah, which we'll mention next time. But I like what Shaykh Uthaymeen said, Shaykh Darabozo mentions it. He said, the Prophet ﷺ saying, Al-Birru Husnul Khuluq, is like the Prophet ﷺ saying, Al-Hajju Arafah. That Hajj is Arafah. Yeah. Or him saying, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ad-deenu nasiha, which we already covered. That deen, Islam, is sincerity. Because he's saying that Hajj is more than Arafah, isn't it? It's not just Arafah. Yeah, but when the Prophet ﷺ says Hajj Arafah, he means its essence. Perhaps the most important thing about Hajj is Day of Arafah. That's what he means when he says Al Hajj Arafah. Same here, Al Birru Husnul Khuluq. So Ibn Uthaymeen is saying this is just an expression to mean its essence is good conduct and morality. That's what it was for. Doesn't mean that's all it is. Yeah, but that's its essence. And ad-deenu nasiha, the religion or deen, way of life, Islam, is sincerity. Because that's its essence. Without sincerity, you've got nothing. Yeah. So similarly, I like the way he's brought the other two, because he's trying to show you that brevity of speech is a way to show you how important good character is. Yeah, but of course, good character cannot be but built on Iman and the pillars of Islam. Can it? That's what he's trying to say. You can't have husnul khuluq, good character, and birr without being a believer. True? That's why when the person asking is already a believer, Sahabi who's asking. Yes? And that believing heart wavering is very important. Yeah? Because that's taken for granted now. Sahabi's coming to ask. Look who's coming to ask. In both situations, Sahaba are coming to ask, not disbelievers. He's not talking to disbelievers. He's talking to believers. Yeah? So you have to contextualize that to understand the statement. to understand the statement. That's why I said you could have wavering and to and fro in the heart, even in all human beings, from the fitrah point of view, which can change as well. But now he's talking to a believer. So when he's saying here, he's talking to believers. Yeah, he's talking to believers. We'll stop there. I think that's what I wanted to say this time. Next time, remind me, we start with Ayatul Bir, inshallah, which will help us to understand further, yeah, about what this righteousness, and therefore it helps us to understand ithm, the opposite, what it is. And then we'll look at some of the other aspects of the hadith, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Any questions on what we've covered today? Yes. Welcome.
Alaykum as-salam. Just a question about whether the wavering could be overemphasized by one's upbringing, perhaps in a situation where people are, perhaps they haven't been well educated at the start, and infer to their children something that they feel guilty about that they shouldn't. Is that also an issue in terms of a wavering, but perhaps that might be just an oversensitization of something rather than a wavering?
Good question. And that's something I'm going to be covering next time, okay. But I hinted at it to you. Yeah. Zari's asking, can wavering be misplaced, oversensitization, cultural baggage that you're carrying, and therefore that affects, of course. That's why I said, this wavering of the heart and to and fro in the chest depends on who it's happening in. And ulama discussed this, because it's not willy-nilly, because your wavering is out, as I said earlier, it could be out of your ignorance. Yeah? Because of what you think is haram or so terrible, you're ignorant, you have no idea, because of whatever culture, most people hardly know anything about Islam from the Muslim world, do they? Just brought up with some culture. So they can have so many misconceptions, yeah, which causes problems for them. Yeah, and the problem is they start then being judgmental about the muftis misusing this hadith. Misusing the hadith. Yeah. So that will come to, I will talk more about it next time as well, but absolutely, it can be misplaced, this wavering, definitely. And we need to discuss it further next time, inshallah. So there's conditions for that application. Yeah. Look who he's talking to, not you and me, talk to Sahaba. Yeah. Any other questions? Any questions from the Zoom?
No. When you mentioned about like Prophet, when you are ready about that, about that question, so it means it was by Wahi, or I mean,
absolutely, yeah. One of the miracles and things of the Prophet, yes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what the hadith showing, and that brings out something so beautiful, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's got Jibreel coming to him, yeah, talking to him. And he's got Jibreel coming lots of other times, but not in the form of a person like in hadith number 2 that we covered, remember? But the rest of the time, nobody else sees, but he's talking to Jibreel, or Jibreel's talking to him. Yeah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay. Barakallahu feekum. We've done 3 weeks. What's happening next week? Hang on. Tuesday next. Yeah. I'll be fine next week, inshallah, but I'm away after that. Yeah. So we'll carry on, inshallah, rather than have a break after. Yeah. Laura. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.